Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. Today, we have a very special topic, very cool topic. It's choosing Catholicism, and we have with us today three students who chose for themselves the Catholic faith. So why don't you tell us who you are and where you go to school and where you go to church. You are all from three different churches, so I'll start with you, Amber.
Hi, my name's Amber. I go to New Albany High School, and I attend church at the Church of the Resurrection.
Hi, my name's Jeff. I attend school at Big Walnut, and I go to St. John Newman.
Hi, my name's Aaron. I go to Gahanna Lincoln, and I go to St. Matthew's in Gahanna.
So different schools and different churches. You guys are kind of from all over the place, which is great. Thank you for being here. I just wanted to start out by having each of you kind of tell your story, tell your journey to the church. Each of you has such a different story, so it's kind of fascinating how you all got to where you are. So who wants to start? Amber, you want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
For me, I was raised Catholic, but I was the kid that you'd have to drag out of bed and pull teeth to get to go to church. I never wanted to go when I was a kid, but I still went through reconciliation and getting First Communion and everything, and I hated it when I was a kid. And getting into middle school, I kind of just completely dropped out of the Catholic faith. I fell away from it completely. I wanted nothing to do with it. And that's how my whole middle school went. And then freshman year, confirmation came around, and my parents didn't require me to do it because they wanted me to, like, choose to do it. So I said no. And I told them I didn't want anything to do with the Catholic Church, and I didn't want to do confirmation. And then I met Maria, and Maria really changed my life. She was Catholic, too. And she kind of helped bring me back to the church just through, like, conversations with her. I'd, like, ask her a ton of questions, and I realized what I believed in really matched up with, like, the Catholic Church and its teachings. And just talking with Maria, I realized I wanted to go back to the Catholic Church. And so my sophomore year, I decided to do confirmation.
Just a quick question before we move on to Jeff and Aaron's stories. You said that what you believed in really matched up with what the church taught. So how did you get away from the church if that was the case? Did you not know specifically maybe what the church taught, or didn't know that it matched what you believed, or how did that happen?
No, I didn't, because I didn't pay attention at all when I was younger learning about what the church taught. And in Mass, I was the kid who'd be, like, picking on their sibling or playing games on their phone or, like, drawing instead. So I didn't pay attention at all. And then just talking about religion with Maria, who's also Catholic, made me realize that, like, what I believe in is also what the church teaches.
Okay.
And I had, like, a new interest in religion after meeting her, and I realized that I really wanted to go back to the Catholic Church.
All right. We'll come back, talk more about Maria and more about your story. Jeff, let's hear your story.
When I was little, I was raised undenominal at the Christ of Church. I went to a bunch of my friends' masses, and when my friend took his first communion, I was like, this is pretty cool.
Which it is.
Yeah. So my mom kept asking, like, do you want to go to this church? Do you want to go to this church? I was like, no, I want to be Catholic, because we were starting to fall away from it. And so she took me to see Father Dave, and we talked, and then I just still decided that I wanted to do it. So my mom went and talked to him, and he convinced her to take our CIA family with me, so she'll know what I'll be learning to.
Oh, that was pretty. That's how Father Dave works. He's sneaky. Father Dave Sizemore. So you were going through RCIA, and he told your mom you should go through it too, so you know what he's learning and what you can ask him questions, and he can talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty smart. So what happened from there?
From there, we just started going more and more. And I started really connecting with people because I knew a lot of people that go to my school that goes to it that I found out.
And your mom eventually joined the church as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great story. All right. How about you, Aaron?
Well, so I grew up, like all my friends were Catholic. My neighbors are Catholic. But I was raised Lutheran. And basically in eighth grade, so my sister and then my two friends got me to go to Catholic Youth Summer Camp. And I have to say that was one of the best weeks of my life because I came in contact with people who were so passionate about their faith and so passionate about Christ and wanting to share that with other people. So that was kind of the beginning of the conversion process. But it wasn't until this past winter that I finally said yes, because I kept saying I was going to, and then I'd fall back into the routine of the school year, and I just never really did it, because I think part of it had to do with the fact that I was so attached to my other church as well. But I just kept praying about it, and finally, I just knew there wasn't any more avoiding it, so I started RCIA this past winter.
Great. Thank you all for being willing to share your stories. Like I said, they're all so different. You've all come from such different places and had such different journeys, but you've ended up in the same place, essentially. So for any of you, and we don't have to go in order, but was there like an aha moment, like a moment in which you think God sort of knocked you upside the head, said, you're going to be Catholic, or you're going to come back to the church? Or was your conversion a more gradual process, do you think?
I would say mine was more gradual, because as I went to more and more of my friends' masses.
And you mean like
I liked it.
Went to mass with them, or went to their first communion masses, or what? When you say my friends' mass, just going to church with your Catholic friends, you mean?
Yeah, just going to church with them.
And the more you went, the more comfortable it was, and the you felt okay being there, huh?
Yeah, I started warming up to it.
Yeah. So, what about Aaron or Amber? Was there an aha moment, or was it more gradual for you?
Well, I think for me, it was kind of both, because like I said, my whole conversion process was probably about 3 or 4 years. But this past winter I went on a retreat and I was in adoration, and it was kind of an aha moment, I think. Yeah, when I first started going to masses, it was so foreign to me, and I just didn't understand why everyone did everything on cue and what the meaning was behind it. And I have a much better understanding now.
For me, it was definitely more gradual, but it kind of, like, I fell away from it for several years. And then I guess realizing that I wanted to go back, only it took like a few months for me to realize. I just kept praying about it. But I definitely wouldn't say there was like a giant aha moment. It was more gradual after like talking to Maria a lot and realizing like what the Catholic faith really meant. Then I decided that I wanted to go back.
Were any of you exploring other faiths, and Catholicism was just one of them? Or I guess my question is, it sounds like you could have chosen any faith. It sounds like you didn't have any restrictions, really. So why did you end up choosing Catholicism? Were you exploring other things, or is that the one that God just put in your path?
For me, I actually did go to a different church. There's a church in New Albany that all, like, everybody in the school is going to, and it was pretty cool. I liked it, and I went there for a while, and then just after a while, it just didn't fill me up, I guess, like mass does, and didn't. So I just stopped going, because eventually I just got tired of going there too, and then I realized that I wanted to go back to the Catholic Church.
Okay. Aaron or Jeff, anything to add to that? You don't have to. Just
Yeah, I wasn't really exploring any other faith, but I think the Catholic Church it kind of brought a satisfaction and a fulfillment and a joy that I hadn't found in the Lutheran church.
Yeah, when I was really little, I would always just like go to the my old church and just mess around. And then whenever I would go to the masses at St. John Newman, I would just always sit there and pay so much attention.
You weren't messing around at mass, huh?
Yeah.
Who were the people that were most influential along the way for you? I know, Amber, you referred to Maria. Where did you meet Maria? How did you?
I met Maria through Young Life. Mm-hmm. It's a Christian organization, and she was one of the leaders at New Albany, and that's how I met Maria.
And she has journeyed with you this whole time?
Yeah, definitely.
And now Maria's on to...
She's on to Focus. Yeah. So right now she's stationed in Missouri, and she's doing Catholic ministry with college students.
It touching more lives.
Yeah.
And leaving you to where, you know, where she left off. Now you get to pick up, right?
Exactly.
What about for Aaron and Jeff? Who were the most influential people for you along the way?
I think for me, my youth minister Megan was, and she's transitioning out as well. She's going to Portsmouth to be in a dorm missionary. And then my sister as well, my twin sister, converted to Catholicism when she was a freshman, and that was definitely a building block.
I would say my godmother, Tracy, and my confirmation team leader, Tim Ghost.
Okay. God puts people in our lives all along the way, doesn't he, to get us where he wants us to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he also, he doesn't put obstacles, but there are sometimes obstacles along our way. Did you encounter any resistance in your journey?
For me, big resistance is like people I'm close to, like, why would you ever go back to the Catholic Church? Because they fell away from it too. And they're like, it's so boring. Like, why would you go back? So I guess like they were kind of like barriers, but I just realized that they can do what they want to do, what makes them happy. But this is something that makes me happy and that I want to do. And so I just decided to keep going with it.
Were you able to use any of those moments as like teaching moments when they, you know, when they ask, why would you go back? It's so boring. Are you able to explain why?
Yeah. Like I tell them, like, cause I went to a different church and it didn't fill me up like Mass did. And like, I'd explain that to them and I'd talk to them just about everything like I believed in that was so different. Like the saints, for example. And they just wouldn't understand, but I knew that that's like where I was supposed to be.
Okay. Anyways, go ahead, Jeff.
One of my friends, he's an atheist, but I really, the way he always talked about how he didn't really understand, I think he's more of just afraid.
Oh, okay. That happens a lot, I think, you know, rather than embrace something that's so big and so... you know, so much bigger than us. A lot of people sometimes just say it's easier not to embrace anything. Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, any resistance for you?
I think my parents were a big one because my dad was raised Baptist and my mom is Presbyterian, and then they ended up at the Lutheran church. And I think what's frustrating for me is that my mom says that youth group is just pretty much a waste of time and that like it's too time consuming and I could be doing better things. And she doesn't really see what effect it's having on me. And so they supported me in my confirmation, but they still don't really understand the reasoning behind it.
Not yet anyway, right? You're working on that.
Yeah.
Would you say that most teenagers are focusing on their relationship with Christ at this point? Clearly the three of you are really focused on your relationship with the Lord. Is that typical for people your age? Or are teenagers focusing on other things? Or I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, my friends at St. John Newman, we're all just sitting there having fun at church in Teen Life Night. But when I go to school, there's like everyone else other than us, they're just focused on other things. You never hear them talk about church.
Mm-hmm. So the people in your life that are focused on Christ are living that out and going to church and participating in St. John Newman and getting involved.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if it's typical. I mean, I think everyone is searching for something, you know, clearly what the world is offering is not fulfilling us on many different levels. So clearly you guys have found a path to fulfillment. Amber, you were talking about how, you know, at Mass you are filled up, you know, and, I think that's what we're all searching for.
Yeah.
It's just we don't all know it or we look in the wrong places. And it's hard for teenagers because you guys have so many different influences and so many different, you're being pulled in so many different directions. all your AP and honors classes, yeah. extracurricular activities.
I feel like kids our age, I feel like there's a good portion that are focused on like the relationship with Christ and they do go to church. But I feel like there's a lot of kids who like don't care, could care less, don't want anything to do about it. Because a lot of times, like, if you mention, like, God or Jesus or church at school, people, like, shut you off completely. And that happens a lot. And they don't want to hear anything about it. So I feel like a lot of kids do, like, some do, but a lot don't.
Is that because that kind of goes back to what you were saying before, Jeff, about your friend who's an atheist who... You're not sure he's actually an atheist. It's maybe just easier for him to claim atheism. Yeah. So I'm wondering if when you try to talk to your friends about your faith, and Amber, you say they shut you down, if it's just easier. Don't hold me accountable. I don't want to hear it. I'm fine right where I am. If there's an element of that. Not just in teenagers. That happens in adults too.
Definitely. Yeah, I think I'm kind of the same way. Like, so my high school has 2,500 students in it, and I found a very select group of people. And among my friends, one of them was really interested about hearing about the Catholic faith because she was raised Catholic, but doesn't really practice it anymore. But some of them have actually laughed at me when I brought it up before, which is really hard because like I could tell they might enjoy it.
You guys are in such a better place than a lot of Catholic kids. You know, you have claimed this faith for yourself, you've explored it, you've been on the other side of it. So when, you know, people shun you or people laugh at you or people, you know that you are fulfilled by, you know, in your relationship with the Lord and in your practice of the faith. Whereas I think other Catholic kids who maybe don't know their faith as well or haven't claimed the faith for themselves, when they find themselves in the same situation, they're not comfortable with it. Sometimes they run the other direction. So you are listening to Raising Saints on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we are here today with Aaron, Jeff, and Amber, and we are talking about choosing Catholicism. Are there things that you think most Catholics take for granted about our faith?
Probably the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Any other things that you love and embrace and you see other Catholics like?
I love the fact that I can come into the sanctuary and worship Jesus Christ basically whenever I want. I think there's just a sense of freedom in it.
What about, is that what you cherish most, Aaron, about the Catholic faith?
That, and I think confession's a big one for me, too, because people are so scared maybe of what the priest would think, but, I mean, they're just an instrument for God, and they're not, I mean, they've heard it all before, they're not judging you, like, it's another freeing sacrament.
I would say that's definitely something that we Catholics take for granted, is reconciliation, you know, we're this beautiful gift that Christ instituted out of love, and we treat it as a punishment or, you know, something to be feared. What about Jeff, Amber? What do you cherish most about your Catholic faith?
For me, I cherish most the tabernacle because it's just like where Jesus is held, and it's just like amazing to know that like he's there with you and like you're praying to him and like he's there in the room with you.
I would say the Eucharist and confession. It's always fun when you're at confession right after. Like right before you go, it's all that quiet time. You get time to think.
I love to hear you say it's always fun at confession. I think most Catholic teenagers would say, "What are you talking about?" But it is, oh my goodness, what a feeling, you know, to be, first of all, like you said, take that quiet time in preparation, then to actually let all of that go and, you know, in the presence of Jesus through the priest. And then at the end, you're done, you know, your slate is clean. So that is fun. How has your practice of Catholicism strengthened your relationship with Christ? I think a lot of times we Catholics get focused on our church and forget about our Lord, who is at the center of our church. I don't know. Has Catholicism strengthened your relationship with Christ?
I think I better understand him because at my old church, they would make him seem like more of stories.
Oh, okay.
But here, I like know him as real.
More personal.
Yeah, I
agree with that. I guess Catholicism has really brought me like closer to Christ in a lot of ways. And I know like before I had a Catholic Bible, I had just like a regular Bible, which is like, I think it's 11 books less. I know, like, I found a lot of, like, peace, and I found a lot of strength in, like, in a lot of those books and that we have in the Catholic Bible mm-hmm. that don't have it in other Bibles. Like, I found a lot of verses in there that have really, like, given me strength and hope and peace, and, like, so I guess that's one thing.
Okay. Anything to add to that, Aaron?
I think a lot of it has to do with the people I've met in the community, because we're all sharing in the same faith, and I think I've found a support system, people to hold me accountable, and just people who share the same love of Jesus that I do.
So you can grow in your relationship with Christ through community.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. Have you been able, Amber, you sort of talked about this, but have you guys been able to share your love for the faith with other people, maybe make an impact on other Catholics? Have you had those opportunities to do that or been able to?
Well, hopefully I'll be able to do that through peer ministry this year.
Yeah, Amber's on a leadership team at Church of the Resurrection, so.
Yeah, at St. John Newman, I'm one of the SALT team leaders.
So you're in the same position. It's a peer leadership position. Yeah,
I had the opportunity to give a testimony at the spring confirmation retreat, and then I'm also going to be on TIC mission team, which is the leadership team for St. Matthew.
So you guys are taking it then to the next level, not just, which is beautiful. You know, you've been given this gift of conversion and faith, and you're not holding on to it for yourselves. You're taking it out and doing something with it. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. You've had different degrees of support from your parents. You kind of talked about it. And we might have parents listening who aren't Catholic, but whose kids want to be Catholic. I don't know. It's possible. So if there are any of those people listening, what advice would you have?
I say let them. Like support your child and like let your child choose what faith like they want to choose. Because for me, like choosing the Catholic faith has like really helped me like better myself as a person, like grow my relationship with Christ. So I just say as a parent, like, cause my parents supported me for coming back to the Catholic Church a lot, and they supported it, and that made everything a lot easier. So mm-hmm. I just say support your child and like let them choose the faith.
I'd say ask them, like have them have reasons that they want to go.
Oh, so ask them, why are you doing this? And then let them give their reasons for that. Yeah. Open a dialogue, a conversation, which is always a good thing for parents to be able to do.
That's what my mom did to me. And I think that helped me strengthen.
Great. Because you had to know what it was you were doing, right? In order to explain it.
And to know what I wanted out of it.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, any advice from you?
Yeah, I don't think I could agree more. I would just say be open because they want a relationship with Christ in like some way, shape, or form. And I mean, there's a lot of different things they could be doing. It's not really a bad thing. So
that's good perspective. What about our listeners whose kids are Catholic but they're resisting going to Mass? Amber, this is what you were talking about at the beginning. They're resisting getting confirmed. They're resisting going to youth group. What advice would you have for those parents?
I'd say don't shove it on them or they're going to resist more. If they're resisting going to like church and youth group, I mean, what happened to me is I fell away, but I eventually came back.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice would just let them choose, like let them decide, because in the end, they'll most likely end up coming back because it's in their heart, whether they don't realize it or not.
See, now parents hear that and feel terrified by that advice, you know, like, no, if I don't, you know, it's my responsibility to get my kid to Mass. So there's always a fine line there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say whether you're going for the first time or coming back, just to try it, because unless you go, you won't know the fulfillment that you can get from it and what you will experience there.
I normally had problems going to Mass because of time, but I know whenever I actually did make it to Mass, I always enjoyed it.
Mm. So just fun. getting there is
the problem.
Yeah. And I've talked to kids and families who Mass was a fun thing that their family did. You know, this is what my family does. It's family time. We're together. And then we go out for breakfast or whatever it is, you know, the emphasis being on this is what our family does together. And it's joyful. It's not, you know, we're not dragging each other there or dragging each other out of bed. So we just keep on moving forward with it, parents, knowing that our kids are in the Lord's hands and we've been given the tools that we need to help get them to heaven and the tools we need to raise saints. So we thank you for joining us on this episode of Raising Saints. I'm Katie Wyatt, and you've been listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now. I will turn my face to you, Lord. I will fill my life with your light. And